We continue our learning Lili Nishmas David ben Menachem Rosh Hashem Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Eliyahu ben Chala Perak Aleph Mishnah Beis Ha'ochel Mehem Kizayis Matzah BaPesach Yotze Yidei Chovaso. We go back to the discussion of the five grains. A person who eats a Kizayis Matzah made out of the five grains, he fulfills his mitzvah's obligation of Matzah. It must be made out of the five grains. Kizayis Chametz Chayav Bahikares. And if he eats a Kizayis of Chametz on Pesach made out of the five grains, he's going to be Chayav Kares. You're only chayav if you eat something made out of the five grains. How do I know that you're chayav for chametz made out of the five grains? Because chametz, by definition, has to be something that is able to, if the dough sits for a while, it's going to leaven. It is going to ferment as opposed to spoil. It doesn't come lidei sirchon. Rice, the Gemara assumes, is ba lidei sirchon. After you let it ferment for a while, it eventually spoils. So that doesn't become chametz. Now, how do I know that matzah has to be made out of the five grains? So the answer is, the pasuk says, lo sochal alav chametz, shivasam tochal alav matzos, says the hekesh. There's a comparison between chametz and matzah, and they're the same pasuk. Just like chametz is only of the five grains, so you can only fulfill the mitzvah of matzah when it's made out of the five grains. It has to be something that potentially can become chametz. We learn from that pasuk as well, that women are chayiv in the mitzvah of matzah. Why? Because there's a comparison between chametz and matzah. Even though matzah is a mitzvah such as man grum, it's time dependent. Therefore, women should be exempt. But because they're chayav in the negative commandment of eating chametz, so too they're chayav in the positive commandment of eating matzah, because the pasuk compares the two. Similar to shomer and zachor, just like women are chayav in the negative commandment to observe the Shabbos, to abstain from the 39 categories of forbidden labor, so too women are chayav in the mitzvah of kiddush, of the mitzvah of zachor. Mishnah continues, Nis'arev echad mehem b'chol haminim. Let's say you have a mixture. What happened here? So the Mishnah is saying that I have one of the five species of grain is mixed with another type of food, which is not one of the five grains. So you have this in your possession over chametz. This is what's known as ta'aroves chametz, a combination where you have a mixture of some of it's chametz and some of it's not. So the Mishnah says here, if nisarev echad mehem b'chol aminim, hareze over b'pesach. You literally violate over on Pesach. Now, what's happening? What's the halachi? What's the definition of tarovas chametz? And what does it mean that I'm over on this on Pesach? So this is a subject to dispute. The Mishnah is telling us that, first of all, that the prohibition of chametz doesn't only apply to chametz itself. It says machmetzes is anything that includes chametz. And this includes the Mishnah that at the beginning of third parak of Pesachim has examples of this. We speak about something called kutach, which is kutach habavli, which is a dip that's made of milk and moldy breadcrumbs. We speak about kutach, it depends on what you're talking about. Sometimes kutach is discussed because it has chametz in it, and sometimes kutach is discussed because it has whey or milk in it when we're talking about meat and dairy. So it all depends on what we're talking about. There's also something called shechar hamadi, meat and beer, which has barley inside. That's also what we assume is ta'aroves chametz. So what's the halach about ta'aroves chametz? So there's a debate about this. The Chachamim are of the opinion in Maseches Pesachim Adaf Mem Gimel that these, let's say the Kutach HaBavli, which has chametz inside, it's tarovas chametz. Chachamim say that is okay. This is okay on Pesach. Why? Because there's a din of bittul. The small amount of chametz from these items is nullified in the whole mixture. And there's a discussion about when that bittul took place. Let's assume the bittul took place before Pesach. So this should not be forbidden at all. And Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion, no. The pasuk says, machmetz, as we learn from here, that even taroves chametz is going to be aser. Now, certain mefarshim hold that the machlokes between the chacham and Rabbi Eliezer applies to the halacha of owning chametz and eating chametz. Both are going to be prohibited. The isser of bali or bali matze, owning the chametz, and the isser of eating chametz. However, others, the Rambam, interestingly holds that when the chachamim say this is not an issue, they're only speaking about eating chametz. But they agree, it's very intriguing, that the chachamim would say, but owning the chametz, bali bali matze, that is a problem of tarovas chametz. Only eating it is not going to bring you, is not going to be usher. So, and then there are others who say no, that Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that everyone agrees that you're allowed to own chametz mixtures on Pesach. You can have tarovas chametz. When the Mishnah says hareze over, so what Rabbeinu Tam means, it has to be removed. It means it has to be removed from the table. I mean, I'm not allowed to eat it, but I'm allowed to own it. And this is a position we often take into account when people speak about, oh, did you sell the chametz? Not sell the chametz. I sell chametz gomer. I don't sell chametz gomer, but I'll sell tarovas chametz. I'll sell the beer and things like that, but I won't sell bread. What's that all about? So that's based on this Rabbeinu Tam, that I'm not allowed to eat the chametz, but I am allowed chametz, tarovas chametz, but I am allowed to own it. As opposed to chametz gomor, that I'm not allowed to own either. So yes, of course, if I'm selling it, I'm not owning it. But a person who wants to be machmir and say, just in case the mechira, maybe it's not the greatest thing to do, it's a harama, it's a loophole, whatever it is in halacha. So at least if the only thing that I keep in my house is taroves chametz, if that's the only thing that I'm selling, so then according to Rabbeinu Tam, even if I didn't sell it, I wouldn't violate Bal Yabal Yamatze because it's taroves chametz. So what does it mean over? Over means get it off the table so you don't eat it. So the language of this mishnah hareze over about Pesach can mean a lot of different things, and this is also a discussion because that's the beginning of the third parak of Tzachim. Elu Overin also speaks about the same idea. Different interpretations of what that means. Hanodim and apasim and atvua asur bohem. Person makes a neder from pas and tvua, bread and grain. Asur bohem. Divrei Rabbi Meir. You're not allowed to have them. What is them? That means the five grains. It means a person makes a neder is not eating bread. He doesn't mention what type of bread. He is not allowed to have bread from any of the five grains, five of these five species. But he is allowed to eat bread from other types of grains, some rice and other things, because according to Rabbi Meir, bread, when we talk about pas, that's only from the five grains. That's what we usually call as pas. So rice is called, it may be called rice bread. It's called pas orez, but it's not called pas alone. So when I say I make a neder, I'm not eating any pas, the assumption is I'm not eating bread. Tavua also, he says, means grain. It means the five species. Yes, tavua in the Chumash we speak also includes grapes and olives and things like that, but that doesn't matter, because when it comes to Nedarim, we say Halech Achar Lashem B'nei Adam. What do people normally say? What's the vernacular? So if people say Tavua, and they say, oh, Tavua, that's normally grain, and Pas is certainly from the five grains, and Pas as well, so then it's Asur Bahem, says Rabbi Meir, you're only Asur in those things, and not in other things like rice and legumes and things like that, even if you make breads out of them. V'chachamim Omrim, Hanodim and Hadagon, Eino Asur Elamehen. So the Chachamim take it a step further. According to Rabbi Meir, what if I took a neder that I'm not going to eat dagon? That's also a word for grain. Rabbi Meir would say, no, dagon already includes other things. Literally means a pile. That refers to, according to the Rabbi Meir would say, that's used any type of produce is included in Goren, because I pile it up in a granary, I pile it up in a silo for storage or whatever it is. But the Chacham say no. And not only pas and tvua do we assume that includes the five grains and nothing else. Even when you say dagon, that neder also only includes grain. Eino asur ela mehen, according to the Chacham, because once again that is the way people speak, and we follow lashon many other when it comes to a neder. V'chayavin v'chala uva Maestro. So the Mishnah concludes that these five grains are chayav in chala and maestros. Now, we should know that already. We know the chala is chayav, is only the chiyuv of chala in the five grains. We mentioned that in the first Mishnah in the Masechta. And maestros, that's also not true. When it comes to maestros, it applies to all species of produce that's edible. And it's not only when it comes to the five grains. So the Mefarshim explained that this statement, the chayav in bachalo v'maestros, it's really an introduction to the next two Mishnais, which are going to have a list of certain items that are obligated in Maestros, but not in Chala, and vice versa. So we'll continue with the next Mishnah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. Elu Chayavin Bachala Uptur Min HaMaestros. So Mishnah Gimel is going to tell us these items that are Chayavin Chala and Pater for Maestros, and Mishnah Dalit is going to list us what's Chayavin Maestros and Pater from Chala. So here we are, a list of things that are Chayavin Chala, maybe one who would have thought they're not, but they're pater from Asos. Here they are, Haleket, Vashichacha, Vahapea. So those are Chayef in Chala. You have to separate challah when you make dough out of. If the poor person makes dough out of the lekha shechon peah, of course he has to separate a challah, veha hefker, and grain. That was mafkir before, let's say, before it was put in a pile. So if someone, the owner was mafkir it. So these are pater from Asros. Why they're pater from Asros? The pasuk says, "Uvaha Levi ki ein lo chelik v'nachalayim alchem pashas rei." So what does that mean? The Levi comes to take his Masros from. You know why he comes? Because he has no chelik with you. Meaning, only the Levi takes something. He takes Masros from something that you have, but he doesn't have. You have a chelikin and he doesn't have a chelikin. But leket shechon peah and hefker, so everyone's equal in that regard. So therefore the din of maaser won't apply. The din of maaser only applies to something where the levi comes ke'ein lo chelik v'nachalimach, something that only he doesn't have a chelikin. But leket shechon peah, if he's poor or a hefker, or hefker for everybody, so that's everyone's equal in that regard. So therefore, there's no din of maser, but there is a din of challah. Din of challah applies because din of challah applies. If it's a lechem aretz, I have an obligation. And Mishnah continues, umaser rishon shenitla truma. So what else is in this category of something where there is a chiyuv of challah to separate, but from the dough, but it's pater from maser? That's where we have maser sheni, whose truma was taken. What are we talking about? So the case is where truma's maser was taken off the maser rishon, which is normal, given to the kohen, but truma gedola was not taken off. Now, why wasn't truma gedola taken off? That should have been taken off all the way at the beginning. So we discussed this type of mishnah before in brachos and other places, and this is where the Levi came early. Levi came and took his maser before Meruach, before the chiyuv of Truma Gedola even set in, when they were still in stalks. He took his 10%. So before the Kohen could come and take the Truma Gedola, before the chiyuv was there, the Levi came and took his maser. So the halacha is that you pater from Truma Gedola, from the Truma that go to the Kohen. The only thing that's chayiv, that you're chayiv in, is Truma's maser. That's all that you'd be chayiv in. So what the Mishnah is saying here is if you have maser rishon where the Truma was taken, so what the Mishnah is telling you is that they're there's no obligation now, as the Mishnah is saying, there's no obligation to separate Truma Gedola, and that's the Masros that we're referring to here, not Truma, but there is a chiyuv of Chala that still exists. It is Lechem, and therefore it has to be separated. And then the Mishnah says, U'Maser Sheni v'Hekdesh Sheniftu. I have Maser Sheni and Hekdesh that were redeemed. What happened? So, let's say you have Maser Sheni and Hekdesh, where let's say he came early when the Maser was only in stock, so the Truma, let's say, was not taken. Or let's say he took the Tvua and it was Makdashit to the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Hekdesh, when it was still in stocks. So Truma wasn't separated, but it was redeemed onto coin. The Hekdesh of the Maser Sheni after Meruach, after the Chiyuv kicked in of Truma. So, since at the time of Meruach they were Pater from Truma Gedola and other Masros, why? Because at that moment of Meruach they were redeemed. But before that, the Maser was already taken, so the Truma Gedola Chiyuv is not there. So therefore, after now that they are redeemed, they're Pater from the Truma and from the Masros as well. Now, why Maser Sheni? Maser Sheni also has halacha lahekdesh. It's mamon kavoa. But, so that's why there's no, so Maser Sheni and Hekdesh, that were redeemed, even though Truma was not separated. And that's because you were makdim early to be mafresh the Maser when it was stalks. Or you makdish the Tvua when they were also in stalks. And then you redeemed them after they were smoothed out. So since at the time they were smoothed out, they were putter from Truma Gedola and from other Masers as well. We're telling you now that after the redemption, so they're putter from Truma Masers. Makes no difference after the redemption as well, because the exemption was there from the beginning. But chala the chayev. Why? Because the chiyuv of chala sets in when you knead the dough. At that point, since it was already redeemed, the coins are holy. But the dough that I have is not. That dough is now chulin. It's now chulin. Of course, had you redeemed them before Meruach, so then they would be chayiv in Trumos and Masos because they would have been chulin when you went through the Meruach, the smoothing part of the pile, when you went through that process. Then Mishnah continues, what else is chayiv and chala b'pater from Masros? Umo sara omer, the leftover from the omer. What does that mean? So the omer was brought, they used to bring the barley flour on the 16th of Nisan, so they would, that carbon was brought, it was sifted, they sifted it many 13 times. It was brought from three sa'ah, motzei yontif of Pesach, who's the 16th of Nisan at night. They would cut the barley, the amount of three sa'ah of flour, that was a lot, and then they bought all of that with Mos of Hektish. So everything becomes Hektish. The only thing is when you're grinding them and you're sifting them the 13 times, so you only have one Yisaron left, that you make the Karban Mincha from that Karban Omer, you have a lot of flour that's left over. That's holy. That's Mosar Omer. So what do? You redeem it, onto coins. So that's, Yotzei Lechulin. And then everyone's allowed to eat it. So Mishnah's telling us here that that Mosar HaOmer, after you redeemed it, is Chayav in Chala. Because the Chayav Chala kicks in, when is it triggered? At the Gilgal HaYisa, when you're kneading the dough. So at that time, it's Chulin, so there's Chayav Chala. But it's Patam and Amasros, because the Chayav Amasros takes effect when? At the time you were piling it up. At the time you were piling it up, it was Hektesh. And the Halacha is, if I'm when I have something that's Hektesh, so when I'm doing the smoothing out, so then it's exempt from Masos. Happened to be Rabbi Akiva disagrees with this Mishnah. He says that Mosar Omer is Chayv and Masros. But nonetheless, we don't follow his opinion. Utvua shelo hevia shlish. What else is on the list of where there's a chiyuv of chala, but there's a pterum on Masros? That's where you have grain that has, that pater from Masros. Why? Because it hasn't even reached the onas hamasros. It hasn't even reached a third. Aser ta aser is kol tvuas zarecha, something that's nizra umatzmiach. This excludes if you have grain that hasn't reached a third. Why? Because if you would plant it, it would not grow. So that's why it's excluded from a kol tvuas zarecha. You only take maser when something's zarecha. If you would plant it, it would be able to grow. Ah, but the chiviv chala is there, because anything that could become chametz is called lechem nischayv and chala. And if I have grain that hasn't reached a third yet, it still can ferment, and therefore the isa, the dough I make from it, is called lechem. And Rabbi Yezer Omer, tevua shelo hevia shlish, turmana chala. He says, no, based on Yerushalmi, it says by chala kitrumas goren, krumas goren, and came Tarimosa, just like Trumas Goren comes to the Truma of the granary, it could only come from Tavua that has reached a third. So Chala too, it's compared to Truma, can only be where it's reached a third.